I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Summer is fast approaching, as is the time to be planting summer fruits like strawberries. Today I'll be speaking to Malcolm Catlin from Marshall's Seeds about their new strawberry Allure, as well as his vast experience in the field of horticulture. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. Well, we talk about flaming June, and last weekend it certainly was flaming. Absolutely beautiful weather, clear blue sky, and I was walking under a really big bush of pyracantha on Saturday and was struck by the sound of bees buzzing. There were hundreds of them, all sizes, bumblebees, honeybees, and really busying themselves about. You know, I often smile when I read of the environmentalists suggesting that we should plant wildflowers. I think that if you have some of our garden plants that do massed flowering, then the bees absolutely love them. But really the soil is so dry, certainly in Essex, and planting can be quite difficult. What you need to do, if when you dig down and you find 5, 6, 7 inches down the soil is pretty dry, is dig the hole and then fill it with water and let that settle in. And then fill it with water again and let that settle in. And then a third or a fourth time, because if you can get the subsoil really nice and damp and then put your plants in on top of that, then they'll root down. And if the weather does stay hot and dry, they'll be in with a chance with a good deep rooting system. I've been planting some of the Calliope geraniums. They're a cross between the zonal-leaved and the ivy-leaved kinds. And goodness, haven't they got some vigour? They just flower and flower. You know, with some of these modern hybrids that do produce a lot of flowers and for many weeks, we do need to make sure that they have plenty of moisture and food. In the case of my Calliope, they had a measure of slow-release fertiliser granules dropped into the bottom of the hole and mixed into the soil, just so that they had a flying start. If you're trying to water from above, I think the only way is to have a little drip system, either a seep hose or a trickle irrigation system, because if the water just drips slowly, then it penetrates. You know, standing up with a hose in your hand just spraying about may make you feel good, but it won't help the soils much. In the news this week is Waitrose. They've introduced from Shropshire a really deep purple asparagus called Erasmus. Like several other of the purple asparagus, it can be eaten raw in salads, and the grower tells me it tastes like fresh peas straight from the pod. Spears will be available through to early July. Not quite sure how they achieve that, because in the garden we reckon you stop harvesting asparagus about mid-June. I mean, commercially, sometimes they get an extended crop when a field is coming to the end of its useful years, and then they just crop it to death right into summer. But I would have thought this new variety, unless it has extreme vigour, which is quite likely, they'll have to leave some really good tall stems to build up the crowns for next year. I also hear that British-grown Royal Gala apples from A.G. Gotham will be available this year right through to August. it means that we'll have homegrown fruit on sale year-round. They can achieve this, really, with increased tree planting. And goodness, they are planting a lot more trees. And, of course, the latest storing conditions. They've achieved this really long storage after working for 7 years with Sainsbury. Another dramatic step to reduce food miles. And while on about fruit, it's good to hear that DEFRA has awarded the University of Reading a £2.2 million contract to maintain the Brogdale fruit collection through to 2024. Absolutely vital it is, that heritage collection. Hundreds of different varieties of apples, pears, cherries and plums. And long may that collection be kept in good order. One other news story from the charity Perennial. They offer help to horticulturists who've fallen on hard times. And they've given the charity a new look and a magazine. Actually, if I just get a quick look at one or two pages here. But one thing that surprised me was the statement. Here it is. Nearly half of adults in the UK think they've had a mental health condition. And nearly one in four people in the UK have had anxiety or depression. You know, getting out in the garden helps a lot with some of these mental disorders. But further on in the new magazine just out, I was interested to read that at the Europlants Open Day, that's a wholesale nursery near St Albans, they hold an open day for all potential customers. David Dominey headed an auction and they raised over £3,000 for Perennial. So thanks to Renata Canali and his staff for that. And another interesting item. I understand that George Davis Turf is going to offer customers 50 pence to Perennial for every pallet that's returned. Boy, that's good news. You know, as I drive about and you see pallets in skips and thrown to the wayside, they must be returnable and reusable. And if returning them to the turf company earns 50 pence each time for that very useful charity, well, all well and good. Couldn't encourage it more.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
At the Chelsea Flower Show just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was reminded of the really wonderful St. Paulia plants that we used to see on the sands from the great houseplant company, Thomas Rochford, and also from the African Violet Nursery up in Norfolk. And today my guest is Malcolm Catlin, who with his dad worked alongside the Reverend Tony Clements growing St. Paulias. Malcolm, good day. I'm taking you back a bit in time, aren't I?
Indeed, yes. I started working for Tony and with my father back in 1993, so 26 years ago. My father had started working with Tony about 12 or 13 years prior to that. I joined the business there when my father was coming up to retirement and Tony was similarly looking to wind down. And The key part of the business there was the African Violet Centre, as you said. They specialised in St. Paulia growing and increasingly got into exhibiting at all the big flower shows. So having started with the RHS shows at the Horticultural Halls, then went to Chelsea and the other shows as they were coming on stream. I think Dad was involved in the setting up of shows like Hampton Court right in the early days. But yeah, that's where I cut my teeth. And as you say, it was a plant that was very popular then, but not seen quite so much now, it seems to me.
Why is that, do you think? I mean, my son in his 50s has just rooted a whole lot of leaves and is passing the plants around the family. And in our centrally heated homes, if you get the watering right, I mean, they're in flower pretty well year-round, aren't they?
That's right. I think there are two or three things there. Firstly, and it's hard to prove it, but it seems to me just anecdotally that they are seen as being a more old-fashioned plant now. But I think also in supermarket terms, for instance, selling them as a plant, the challenges of not chilling them through their cold chain and not getting them damaged through the system just perhaps a bit too difficult. Growing-wise, they weren't commanding a high price, and the number of people growing them has steadily declined.
You mentioned supermarkets. No one knows better than you, I suppose, that trade, because when you went away from African Violets, you went into the wholesale supply of plants to the big retailers, I believe.
That's right. So I, as well as being involved with the display of the growing and the display of houseplants, I was also working in mail order, but after a few years then moved into the wholesale side, as you say, Peter. And so that was supplying the high street retailers and also the DIY sheds, as we call them, with a very wide range of plants, both indoor and outdoor.
And that must have had its frustrations or demands, because when we go into peak days like Mothering Sunday, Easter, Christmas, the quantities are enormous, aren't they?
Yes, that's one of the big challenges is going from a level for much of the year ticking over to then a huge spike in demand, as you say, particularly at Christmas and at Mother's Day, which place huge demands on getting the supply right and managing maturity, because it's all about the impact, of course, and maintaining the quality. Mother's Day particularly difficult because it's a changeable date each year, so depending on how early or late it is and what's in the range, it brings great demands. But also it's a world of great opportunities, because when you get it right, the volumes are big.
Yeah. I hadn't thought so seriously about the changing dates for Mothering Sunday, so that if you get a blueprint to have whatever it is, hydrangea or roses, to flower on a certain day, if it changes by several weeks, year on year, then the timing will be really quite tricky, won't it?
That's right. So, as you say, when it's early, there are certain plants where getting enough flower maturity is particularly difficult. But when it's later, I mean, potted bulbs, for instance, hyacinths and so on, are often popular as a component of Mother's Day arrangements. But when Mother's Day is very late, still having plants at the right maturity then is difficult in the opposite direction. Usually they're finished. So it kept us on our toes, shall we say. Yeah. And then you've got the other big challenges of things like poinsettias, which are still massive volumes around Christmas. And I've seen a few tens of millions of those in my time, and every year, let me tell you, it's been interesting.
I can see that word "interesting" in inverted commas. Yeah. So it's something of a relief to have left that behind and joined really what is quite, in some ways, a different kind of trade with Marshall's Seeds. I mean, another well-known brand, but this spring, have you seen an increase in the demand for seeds then?
But the figure since in the couple of months that I've been there, and I can't take credit for all of this directly, has certainly been up year on year on both vegetable and flower seeds. So that's been very encouraging, and it seems to me a good base to build on. But as well as the seeds, we're also doing a wide range of plants, and the other thing which I'm much more involved with again now is with soft fruit, strawberries and raspberries in particular.
Yeah, and the changes there are quite remarkable, aren't they? I mean, we're pretty well UK self-sufficient in strawberries from April through to November, and the breeding work to suit that is overflowing a bit into the garden trade, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, talking about the breeding work, obviously we've got the National Strawberry Breeding Programme down at East Malling in Kent, which has been down there for about 35 years, I think. But I think I read that since they started releasing the first of their, getting on for 40 varieties that have become commercial, produced, or not them, but their varieties have materialised into something like 250 million plants. A lot of those for the trade, but as you say, increasingly finding their way into the retail market. And that breeding programme has been targeting all of the needs of the modern world. So firstly, extending the season, but secondly, also particularly about disease resistance and coping with an ever-decreasing appetite and availability of chemicals for treatment. But a remarkable programme from Morley.
We were involved with them, when I say we, at the Sun and some of our Chelsea exhibits, with the launch of Morley Centenary, which was a variety which is an improvement on Alsander in a number of directions, particularly in yield and flavour.
Yes.
And you're bringing out a sister variety to that, I think.
Yeah, well, we've this year a new one in our range is Morley Allure, which is from the same stable. It's got all of the qualities of Centenary, but the main difference is that it's a couple of weeks later, and later than El Santuary, of course. The trade like it because it helps with that season extension again, and not having all their eggs in the one basket. But it's another fantastic variety. The trials that they've done are generating more than 90% of Class 1 fruits. Around 90% of them are an inch and a half or bigger in size. Fantastic flavour and really good shelf life as well. So lovely, lovely firm fruit and quite sweet as well. The fruit trade can measure it by the brick scale, and it's significantly higher in bricks than El Santap. So a lot going for it.
I find it interesting that as they make these steady advances on flavour and sweetness, those of us at the sharp end, of course, are aware. But, of course, the public just take it for granted, don't they? They don't quite realise the work behind the scenes.
No, and I guess there's a certain inevitability about that. We do have an opportunity where we're engaging directly with our customers through the mail order trade and through the websites and increasingly through social media to be able to explain those things, to infuse and inspire and get that message across. And I think it's really important that we do that and explain why we choose the varieties that we do.
Marshall's introduced a variety called Marshmallow, which I think was exclusive to you. That was a good variety.
Yes, that was a few years ago, and it's not still an exclusive one now, but we're very pleased and proud to have been the first to sell Marshmallow. Still in our range, and we will continue to work closely with our growers over in Norfolk, who just happily are in the same village that I live in and the same village where the African Violet Centre used to be. So interesting how it all comes full circle.
What's that? Walpole's and Andrew?
That's Walpole's, R.W. Walpole. I mean, another interesting piece of history is that 100 years ago, there was I only know it from books, of course, but there was a railway line running through Terrington and the Walpoles, and about the only thing that kept any kind of viable trade in those days was during the strawberry season, where there would be whole train loads of fruit going down to market. But obviously that's long gone, but it's still there is still strawberry production there, but it's fantastic that it's still a thriving location for the propagation of the finest quality strawberries and raspberries.
I hadn't realised. I did know that, you know, that part of the country in East Anglia was a major producer of what was, you know, Cambridge favourite, the old sort of commercial variety for jam and all kinds of things. But it hadn't sort of registered that the railways played a part in that shipping.
Yes.
And we're likely to see a steady increase in fruit size, aren't we? Because that's a major cost for the commercial growers. If they're big fruits, you can pick them more quickly. And the labour costs, I'm told, are a large proportion of fresh fruit sales.
So, well, labour cost and labour availability, of course, is with all the various issues that we're having to deal with at the moment. So that too is important. But yes, fruit size is one of the major objectives of the morning programme.
Well, now this strawberry allure, with luck, you're going to bring to us at Gardeners World Live exhibition in Birmingham.
That's right. Yes, we will be able to show some plants there and to talk about it and to extol its virtues, and we will certainly be promoting it heavily again in the coming year.
When would listeners be able to lay hands on plants?
They will be featured again in our new catalogue, which comes out as all the companies in our area tend to do in the late summer, early autumn. And they will be able to have plants again from the back end of this year and through the first half of next year.
Malcolm, I look forward to Gardeners World Live.
Yes, I look forward to seeing you there.
And together launching Strawberry Allure. Let's hope it brings people great pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a great pleasure to catch up again. And yes, I look forward to seeing you at the show as well.
What's on? Well, on the 5th to the 9th of June, it's the Royal Horticultural Society's Chatsworth Flower Show. And very local to me, the Rittle Village has open gardens from noon on the 9th of June. Next week, from the 13th to the 16th, we'll be at BBC Gardeners World Live at the NEC Birmingham. And if any of you are anywhere near, hope you'll give us a look. I'll be on the display, certainly Thursday morning, and then over the weekend on the Saturday and Sunday. Our thought for the day comes from American author Henry Thoreau. Distrust any enterprise that requires new clothes. So there we are. I needn't worry so much now when my trousers get a bit threadbare at the knees, although when I look at some of the young people when I travel to London, they seem to buy new jeans with the knees all threadbare, so I needn't worry about it wherever I wear them. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.